Well, hey, good to see all your smiling faces out here. I am not Tom. For those of you that are new, my name is Craig. I'm the discipleship pastor here at Mountain View, and I'm sitting in for Tom today because Tom's son, Tucker, had a procedure on Friday that went well, and we're excited about that and continue to hope for God to continue to do good things. And so Tom's been helping with the family and recovery for Tucker and all of those good things, and so you get to deal with me today. So, however, that doesn't mean that you get to get out of our sermon series. We are continuing on. So we are in week four. This is actually the second set of four, and there's four sets of four sermon series through the book of Luke. You with me? Or did I just lose you? No. Okay. All right. Very good. So for the month of January, we have been going through Luke, talking about the way of Jesus. And we've kind of focused on this because if we really dig in and listen as we read and pay attention to what's going on the way of Jesus, walking the way Jesus does, often doesn't equal the way of Craig or the way of you. And so we have to really pay attention because the way of Jesus is not natural to who we are in our life. And there's four specific topics, four specific words that we have used to describe the way of Jesus this month. Four actions that we believe that Jesus calls us to implement into our lives. Four simple words: go, welcome, release, and today, move. Go was simply to engage the world around you and partner where the Holy Spirit is already working. It's kind of the as you are going, implying that our life of active faith isn't one where I sit and I wait for people to come to me. Jesus says our act of faith and life is to, as we are going, engage where the Holy Spirit is at work. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't say, the fields are widened to harvest. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send workers. That's you, by the way. If you didn't catch that, that's us. Pray for us that we would be ready to, as we are going in our lives, to be like that. Engage the community. Second, welcome. To make room for someone else, maybe even someone who feels unseen. Go, to welcome. To release, to live a life of generosity with both with all of my time, talents, my treasures that I let go of, and when God asks of, I freely am ready to give. Give my time, give my resources for the gospel. And then today we're going to talk about move, to live a life daily of obedience as I pick up my cross and I die to myself. Today's going to be real fun. So we've asked for you every week to pick up a little card, and we're not going to miss a beat. We're going to ask you to do the same thing. So there's some tables out there. You're going to hear this more than once this morning. And the card today says move, and Brenda will talk about it at the end. I brought up my card today. I brought up my welcome card because I experienced a welcome moment this last week, and I hope it's an example for you of what we're talking about in sitting in these with these opportunities and sharing with us what you got to experience along the way. I had a welcome moment. I have a really good friend, and it's a really good friend. You know a really good friend when they go crabbing and they give you some of their crab when you didn't go? All you had to do was receive, and they spent all the time and all the energy and everything, and they went and got their limit of crab, and they just simply said, hey, I care for you, here you go. It's like, wow. What a blessing. So I was gifted with some crab, and so I went home and I was very excited to crack it and do all the things, and my wife's request is I do that in garage, not in the house. I went out to the garage, and most of the time I open up my garage door if I'm going to be hanging out in the garage. because I've got neighborhood kids and families that are all around, and I do that just to catch out of the corner eye, just to make welcome the idea that hey, let's have a conversation, let's talk. Sometimes I'll just do stuff out in the driveway, just to be there. And so I open up the garage door, and sure enough, our nine-year-old neighbor, his name's Grayson, hey, Craig, what you doing? Oh, no. What am I doing? I'm cracking gold. Hey, and so he comes into the garage. Wow, what is that? I've never seen that before. And so I said, well, it's a crab. Well, can I help you? And I look at his little grimy hands as he's been playing basketball, and I'm like, I will welcome him in. And so I said, yes, Grayson, come on in. And he saddled up, and he began to destroy two legs of crab over the course of the next half hour. But it was fantastic. We talked about God. We talked about faith. We talked about some things he's kind of struggling with in his little nine-year-old life. At the end, a mom came out the door, Grayson, we got to go. I said, okay, thanks. And he grabbed a couple of pieces of crab, and off he went to share with his family this old crab that he'd cracked. And we got to have a little welcome moment. And he got to experience that I'm open. Come on in. Saddle up. Sit down. We can talk about whatever you want. That's what we're talking about with these story cards. It's not that we want you to have the four spiritual laws or the Roman road or something else and that you've got to be ready to preach somebody to heaven in a conversation. It's just that we simply exude Jesus when the opportunities present themselves along the way. You with me? Good. I hope so, because the cards aren't going to go away. The requests aren't going to go away, but we would love for you to join us and engage in the way of Jesus each and every day of our life. So, today we get to talk about move. When I was growing up, I earned a few ribbons and some trophies that I proudly displayed on the shelves in my room. Anybody else have some trophies when they were kids and put up on the shelf? Yeah, yep. I won some, our teams that I was on won some, and it was with great pride that I put them up and talked about them with anybody that would come in my room that wanted to talk about them. I had to give some time, some effort, some energy, some teamwork to make sure that we'd accomplished our goal. Had to discipline myself in order to get to that place. But then once the goal was accomplished, I grabbed the trophy, set it on the shelf, and really after that point, it didn't really make a difference in my life. It didn't affect my life. I kind of moved on. And there really wasn't any influence in my day-to-day life after I had accomplished that trophy. And I was thinking about move this week. I got to thinking, you know what? If we're not careful, our walk with Jesus can kind of be like the trophy on our shelf as a child. I can point to a time in my life that I confessed Jesus as Savior, that I believe Jesus is the Messiah, and by and large, my daily life, my schedule, my time, my finances, my speech, my actions are really centered around me still, around my desires. Oh, I'm happy to fondly look at and remember the day I confessed Jesus, but like a trophy from a contest, it's easy to set him, it's easy to set that decision on the shelf and live most days for myself, in my own strength, without the thought to the decision that I made that day. And today we're going to jump into a text that indicates that the discipleship, this journey we've been talking about this much, is so much more costly than that. Jesus never called people to safety. He didn't call people to stay and remain. He called them to movement and to change, to take steps forward. Following him means making a daily decision to move, to not look back, to not stay in our comfort zone, but step into something better. It's not always easy, but he promises it's worth it. And the life he offers is full of promise and starts fresh every day with just one step after step after step in the right direction. So we're going to jump into our passage. We're in Luke 9 today. There's a lot going on in Luke chapter 9 that leads up to where we're at. And just want to quickly go over that. If you start at the beginning of Luke 9, Jesus sends the 12. They've been with him. They've learned from him. They've traveled together. And Jesus says, you know what? You're ready. All right, you go. And he sends them out. And they go out without Jesus. You know, it's been one thing to be beside Jesus and watch the miracles happen, watch him teach, watch pretty incredible things. And then Jesus says, now I'm going to stay and you're going to go. Oh. Well, that's different. But they do. They go. And some amazing things happen. And they're very excited. And then they come back. And some incredible things. Word has spread about them. And questions even all the way up to Herod are being asked about what is going on with just Jesus and these disciples. And then a crowd gathers at one day of Jesus' teaching. And up to 5,000 people, plus women and children, 10,000 people, and Jesus teaches on this day. And they've stayed so long, they all get hungry. Boy, that's not an American thing. Just stay so long, just skip dinner and just keep going. It's like, as a matter of fact, most of you, it's like, we got to go. But they stay so long, the crowds are getting hungry, and the disciples are like, Jesus, we got to feed them. And these 10,000 people are fed with 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish. Not 2 fish. 2 fish. Incredible that Jesus does there that day. Amazing stuff. They get done with that, and then Jesus says, So guys, you've been out, and you've gone, and you've done miracles, and we've had this amazing day with 10,000 people, so give me some feedback. Who do people say that I am? Well, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, and some say a prophet. It's like, but Jesus says, but who do you say I am? And then we get this great confession of Peter. Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He gets it initially at the front. You are him, the Messiah. And we're going to follow after you. And then Jesus says, well, if you're going to follow after me, understand I am going to a cross. And if you're going to follow after me, I am going to lose my life. If you're going to have to follow after me, know that I'm going to be put to death. But I will rise again. And of course, there's a level they don't understand, they don't get that. Jesus says this, and this is where we're going to jump in today. At the end of these amazing things they've done, this crowd of people that they've been around, this clarifying moment that they have, and that specifically Jesus has with Peter. And we get to our text from today about the way of Jesus. He says, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, this is what it's going to look like. Do you want to be Jesus' disciple? You're going to respond. Yes, no? Maybe. I don't want to ask. Or I don't want to answer. I don't know. You're going to catch me in a trick. When we've named Jesus, we've said, I want to be your disciple. Jesus says, all right, you want to be my disciple? Here's what that looks like. And he gives us a clear, definitive response to our request to be a disciple. So Luke chapter 9. Begins verse 23. Here we go. And Jesus said to everyone, to all, not just the 12, everybody that was there. And Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would be my disciple, we'll unpack that in just a minute. First thing is, here we go. You ready? Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory, in the glory of his Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Then we jump to the end of the chapter. And so Jesus said, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. I'll ask again, do you want to be a disciple?
Yes.
Okay. Let's unpack that then. Because to everyone who says, I want to be a disciple, Jesus says this, the first thing in verse 23, if anyone wishes to follow me, first thing we have to understand, following Jesus is a personal choice. No one makes that choice or decision for you. It isn't granted by family descent. It isn't given to you by somebody else. It's a decision that you make. And if you are here today and you have never decided to follow Jesus, if you do not know the hope of eternity from Jesus, if you've never named Jesus as Lord and sit here with eternity in your forefront, I would love it if you came and saw me at Next Steps today. Don't leave here without knowing that promise. However, also know the cost. If anyone wishes to follow me, first thing, deny yourself. Following Jesus requires a denial of what I desire, a denial of my own will, a denial of what is best for me. That's hard. Because every day I wake up, I want what I want, when I want it, how I want it, and the time frame I want it. And Jesus says, if you want to be a disciple, when you wake up every morning, the first thing, deny yourself. Deny your urges. Deny your desires. Secondly, daily take up your cross. In Jesus' day, take up your cross didn't mean to put on the nice little gold chain around your neck when you're at the mirror in the morning. In Jesus' day, to take up your cross, they knew very clearly knew. To take up your cross meant to bear your load to death. For in Jesus' day, if you took up your cross, you were taking up the very instrument that was going to be the demise of your life. And said, if you want to follow after me, you deny your will, your desires, your flesh, and you pick up a cross voluntarily, like I did. For you see, Jesus was the only one that I know of who ever willingly picked up his cross. And he didn't pick it up because of what he had done. He picked it up because of what we did. And I had a thought this week. So I was getting ready and I was contemplating through this and praying through this message. Jesus picked up a cross and bore a cross bar that was weighted with my stuff, not his. And what Jesus is asking me maybe means that tomorrow morning when I get up, I deny myself and I am ready to pick up and to bear a cross of someone else's burden that isn't mine to own, that isn't mine to bear, that I didn't create, that I didn't do, but I'm going to do it because God calls me to. That's been a struggle for me to wrap my head around this week. That the cross Jesus calls me to bear might not have my stuff on it, but he calls me to bear it for the sake of someone else. Last in the list is then follow me. And that's last because we cannot follow Jesus if we're following after our own agenda, our own wants, our own desires, our own will. They will always compete with one another. They are competing forces. And we can't do two things at one time. And God does not demand. God does not scream. God does not yell. God does not. He'll wait. And he will allow you to follow after your own will, your own desires, your own heart. And stumble and fumble and fall. Come up short. But Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, here's how we start. Deny yourself. Pick up the cross, the things that I give you to do that may not have anything to do with you, that you don't deserve to bear. And follow me. Verse 24, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever is willing to lose his life for my sake will find it. Human effort at saving one's life will end up in the loss of it every time. You will never live until you walk to your death with Jesus. Man, I love that saying this week. You will never live until you walk to your death with Jesus. But that's the idea here. You can't gain resurrection life without first dying to yourself, without first letting go of mine and grabbing hold of his. Amazingly, the people who are able to live this way out before Jesus are the ones who are really, truly, genuinely happy. Giving our lives to Jesus all the way and living as others-centered person does not take away from our lives. It actually enhances it and adds to it. Verse 25. Avoiding the walk to death with Jesus means that we may gain the whole world and end up losing everything. It's hard for us to give up the tangible. It's what we know for the eternal, what we don't know yet. But Jesus says, if you want to be a disciple, die to yourself, let go of it all, and trust me that you might gain everything in the end. Man, that's just kind of a scary journey. I don't know if I can do that. That's why it requires faith and trusting in him. Verse 26, I didn't want to talk about. We'll just skip over that. No, we can't. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory. Yikes. Hiding our faith or living with a fear of speaking out about Jesus as if ashamed will result in a corollary response from Jesus on the day of his return. I'd like to explain that away, but it's there. I think it's in the context of discipleship. If I am willing to deny myself, if I'm willing to let go of me, if I desire and I choose to live for him, I will, when the opportunity presents itself, gladly and with great joy inside, speak Jesus. And in correlation to that, he will gladly speak my name when the time has come. And that is a very incredible thing that we will get to experience at the return. And in verse 27, Jesus ushers in the kingdom with his resurrection. Jesus says that the kingdom is coming and there are examples of it. We're going to talk more about that here in the next few weeks as we work through the book of Luke. But he says, some of you are not going to die until the kingdom is ushered in. And the kingdom is ushered in when Jesus goes to the cross, he dies, and then he's resurrected on Sunday morning. And we folks sit in the kingdom. And man, as disciples, I want us to catch that. I want us to get that. We are in the kingdom. And we are kingdom representatives. And we are kingdom bearers. And we represent the kingdom as we go. And that's why it's so important that we understand this discipleship thing. Because when we name Jesus as teacher and master, then he says, great, you get to become ambassador. And you bring with you the reflection of the kingdom to the world around you. And I have to ask myself, Craig, how did I do reflecting the kingdom this last week to the world around me? Not very good some days. Pretty good some days, but not 100%. But I want to get better. And in order for me to get better at that, I have to wake up and remember every day, I have to deny myself, and I have to pick up the cross that Jesus puts in front of me and bear whatever it is, whether it's mine or somebody else's, in order that someone might in me see the kingdom being lived out in front of them and get to be the one that bears the hope of eternity. Because then in verse 62, as he wraps this up, once we name Jesus, we have committed to participating as a bearer of that news. He says, don't look back. He says, for those who look back, who long for what was, for what they've given up, for a taste of the old ways, are no longer fit for the kingdom. It's an echo of the demise of a lady in the Old Testament. God sends Lot and his wife away from the city that very clearly is not going to be open to the gospel change, to following God in his ways. He says, you guys got to leave. And he says, don't look back. And Lot's wife looks back, and she was no longer fit to receive what God had for them. And in that same way, Jesus says, man, when you accept discipleship, don't look back, don't long for what was, because we get hindered up, and we're no longer fit for what I've called you to. As a disciple, as a kingdom bearer, as one that represents and ambassadors for Jesus to the world around us. So what do these verses look like in a practical today kind of idea? I'd say four things. To move means this. To move means to daily pick up your cross, which may include bearing someone else's burden. I didn't want to, we have a 9-foot cross, but I got the one that I could manage this morning here. But when Jesus picked up the cross, and when he had picked up a cross, he didn't take the cross with him. He bore this, the cross beam with him, and it was wide enough for hands. So it was another 3 feet longer than this. And it was enough to support someone as they pulled them up onto the cross. It was a large, large piece of wood. And it was imposed unwillingly on people. No one willingly stepped up and said, man, let me take a cross beam and I'll go to the cross. No, it was a punishment. And it was imposed upon people. And unwillingly, they were forced to grab their crossbeam and to walk the walk of shame through town to the post that was waiting outside of the city limits for them. And to be stretched out on the cross till their death. I should say nobody but one. One person willingly picked up his crossbeam and walked it as far as he could, physically, to the cross. And to move means that we too, willingly, like Jesus, pick up the crossbeam. That's different for all of us. What God's calling to, what he has for us, is going to change by each person in the room. It's going to change by our daily circumstances. But he's going to ask. And he says, willingly be ready to pick it up. And understand that it may be somebody else's burden that you're carrying today. But that's a representation of the master that we follow, who willingly bore the burden of our sin to his death. You want to be a disciple of Jesus? Then he calls you to model what he did, to willingly pick up your cross, to embrace the unchosen circumstances that come along your path, even when it means bearing a burden of circumstances that might belong to somebody else. Secondly, move means to actively put to death your own desires, your own will, so that you might pursue his. For we cannot pursue two things at one time. And if you don't daily execute, that doesn't mean make happen. It's execute in the sense of put to death, destroy, eliminate, remove. If you don't execute your own desires, you cannot pursue his, for the two are at war with one another. And God will not impose on you. So we have to daily choose to execute our own desires, and then, and only then, are we able to pursue his. And to move says, I die to myself so that I might embrace your will, your priorities, your desires, your put in there whatever you'd like. So what are his desires? What is his will? Well, great question. I'm glad you asked. We'll answer some of that. Third, to move means to choose obedience. Obedience to New Testament imperatives and your own call. And so I'm going to give some examples, not because I want to give you a list, but because I want you to see that Jesus lists some things, and those come in some very unexpected ways in our life. One of the imperatives that Jesus desires for us, that he gives very clearly, and you might know it. He says this, love God with what? Heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor is yourself. What's that look like? See, that's the piece that we talk about. To actively put to death our own desires, to choose obedience, means that I am ready to fulfill that imperative of love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, love my neighbor as myself. What it might look like is being nice to my cranky neighbor across the fence. Every time. What it might look like is that God says, I know you want that, but I'm calling you to this. But God, if I do this, I can't afford to do that, I know. That's what loving God with everything means. Does it mean that I have to have a conversation at lunch with that person that is different in my political stance and be nice to them? Yes. See, we can read some things, but then there's practically what's that look like for us today? It means to obey the tap of the Spirit on our shoulder when he calls us to something. Like repent. To turn from our sin. We want to ask God's forgiveness. We struggle to repent. Forgiveness is easy. God, would you please forgive me for that? To repent means that I admit what I'm doing is sin and is against God, and I have to turn around and change my behavior to be able to walk in a way that is according to his will. That's what that looks like in obedience. Another imperative Jesus says, last thing he says to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. What's it look like to go and make a disciple? Well, it might look like the old neighbor boy next door walking through your front door without knocking. On a regular basis. And sliding up to your table and saying, hey, what you doing? And the Holy Spirit saying, hey, Craig, this is a holy moment. Better make some room. Yeah, but he was here yesterday. Uh-huh. And the day before. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's what obedience looks like. There's some imperatives. Be humble and serve. What's humility look like today? It means not getting my way. It means doing something quietly without anybody noticing. To forgive others. How many times? 70 times? Seven. Immeasurably. Without record. To be obedient means that I don't hold on to that. That I forgive as he's forgiven me. It means to live generously. Giving of my time, treasure, talents. But God, I know. You're tired. And I'm tapping you on the shoulder and I want you to do this. But I can't. I know. That's the great part. Let me give you the ability and the strength to do so. And when we don't have the margin and he has to supply, that is when the incredible begins to happen in this obedience thing. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. How in the world do I do that? Be persistent in seeking God. He says, ask, seek, knock. You ever prayed for something once and it kind of went out of your mind? You're like, wow, God never answered that prayer. Really? Prayed one time and wanted the God of the universe to move. God says, be persistent. It's okay. Come, sit at my lap. Ask again and again and again. What's that look like? That I might get tired of asking. And God is doing something maybe in the waiting. And so he says, keep being persistent and see. He says, go the extra mile, show radical generosity. If someone asks a coat, give me your tunic too. Be willing to say, man, they just asked something from me last week and they're asking something from me again. Yeah. And if the Holy Spirit says, okay, he calls us to be obedient and to do it again. Fourth, to move means to engage in and even initiate relationship with people who are different from you in the world around you. When our kids were in school, they're grown now. They're adults on their own. They were active in extracurricular activities, and it was easy for us to engage in relationships with people that were very different from us because our kids were all doing stuff together, and we had no idea, you know, and get on a team, and here's a team full of kids, and that means a bunch of parents, and here we're all together, and we're just going to do life here in this intersection. And it was pretty easy to find ourselves engaging in our community. But they left home, and they're gone. And some of those natural connections went with them. And so now we have to intentionally choose to engage the community. We have to look for opportunities. And I tell you what, if you've ever done that, sometimes it's not very easy to look for opportunities to engage in a regular basis in our community. But we're finding them. This year, Tanya has chosen to volunteer with one of our local partners. And it puts her in a relationship with adults and teens in our community that she otherwise wouldn't have. And we're not seeing immediate results. But she faithfully shows up and is being in relationship. God's going to do something with that. Since the first year, I have connected with a couple of groups here in our community that if I were just choosing to jump in with some people, I wouldn't choose either of these groups. But God plopped them right in my lap. And to not would mean that I would have to intentionally pick it up and set it over here and say, no, thank you, God, I really don't think I want to do that. And I'm not up to that conversation with God right now, so I said, okay. And I'm getting to have connection and relationship with people in our community that I otherwise wouldn't have. And I know as I sit in rooms with them and sit around the tables with them, we are of opposite political stances, we are of opposite beliefs, we are of opposite behaviors, opposite life experiences from one another. But God's called me there. And so I'm there. And I'm showing up. And I'm excited to see over the long haul how God's going to use that in both of our lives. I know it's easiest to pull the car into the driveway or into the garage and settle in at home and enjoy what you like, what you want, things that make you feel good. But I would dare say today that that is not the way of Jesus. I know it's comforting to reminisce about past accomplishments, even spiritual milestones that you've completed. To look up on the shelf and enjoy the trophies gone by. But I would dare to say today, that is not the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus is for us to go. Daily pick up your cross as you seek where Jesus may already be working in the world around you. The way of Jesus is to welcome, to move toward the overlooked, to invite in the outsiders, expecting that you may even bear some of their burden, like Jesus has borne yours. The way of Jesus is to release, to let go of your time, talents, and treasure so that you might freely practice generosity as you're going and welcoming. That's not easy, I know, but it's the way of Jesus. And the way of Jesus is to move, to live in daily obedience. Obedience to the tap on the shoulder that says, hey, do you see them? Go talk to them. Hey, did you hear about them? Pray for them. Spend some time agonizing over their struggle. Hey, did you hear about that need? Go take care of it. The way of Jesus is to move, to daily live in obedience as you deny your own desires, your own will, and pick up your cross, dying to self and living in obedience to his calling. It's an amazing journey. It is not straight. I hope you've picked up on the lines in the foyer. The way of Jesus is often circumvented and has twists and turns, unexpected twists and turns. And I like to see them as ways of excitement, not just a boring journey straight down the road, but an exciting twist and turn in a path that I got to hang on because he's the one that knows where we're going. I certainly don't. And his ways are better than my ways, and they're higher than my ways, and it leads to an eternity in the presence of God the Creator. Man, I'm on that journey. I hope you're on that journey. If you've not started that journey, I'd love to talk to you today. As we close, there's two little containers up here on the stage. And in them is a cross with a little chain on it. And if you so want to do, We're going to move into communion time. We're going to have a response time. We're going to have a prayer time. And if you want, you can come up and grab one. And our encouragement is going to be that you take and you put that with your keys. So that every time you reach in your pocket, or you reach into your purse, you pull out your keys, that you would grab hold and remember, I'm going the way of Jesus. And today, where is he asking me to go? Who is he asking me to welcome? What is he asking me to release? How is he wanting to move in me? And if you want that reminder, sometime between now and the time we leave, come grab one, put it with your keys. Hope you'll pick up a card on your way out today and begin praying. We're going to move into our time of communion. If you're new with us here at Mountain View, every week we stop and we remember Jesus' journey to the cross that began at the table. He picked up the cup of redemption and he broke bread and he said, this is my blood and this is my body. Eat and drink in remembrance of me. And so we do every Sunday. There's tables around the room here and one up in the balcony. There's two cups, one with juice, one with bread. When you're ready to do so, we encourage you to go and to partake, to reflect, maybe repent, spend some time with God. If you want to, come grab a reminder. And we'll continue on in worship in a minute. We've been closing our gatherings this month with this prayer. If you've been around with us, hopefully you know your response part, and maybe today you can just simply close your eyes and pray in response without having to look at the words. Your response is, Jesus, we will follow your way, and really sit in what you're saying. So let's go to prayer as we close today. God, we're reminded of your call to bring people into your kingdom. Shape us to follow your way with all of our hearts. Lead us to live your way in our daily lives. Give us courage to take up our cross every day. Help us live a life of love and serve others with humility. Jesus, amen.